welcome to a quick Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. We have a change chat with one of the leaders in the change management field. Hello, everybody. It is currently the 7th of November, which makes it the very first day of International Work Out Loud Week. And who better to have a change chat with at the moment than the inimitable Simon Terry, our change agent extraordinaire of the Change Agent Worldwide Group. Welcome, Simon.
Well, thank you, Jen.
Simon, tell us, what is the Change Agents Worldwide Group?
Change Agents Worldwide is a network of professionals from around the world who are looking at helping organisations with the change to the future of work. So it's a group of around 50 people who are very passionately engaged in future of work practices like collaboration, agile change, learning in new ways, and who come together to connect and share and collaborate to make change come about in their world.
That sounds a little bit exciting. I have to confess I'm a member of the group, so I am a little bit partial to it. I can't quite pretend that I'm not. I think one of the things also to highlight about the Change Agents Worldwide Group is it's one of the very first models of collaborative consulting models, isn't it? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so the group itself is an open network, so people are independent practitioners who come together to in this way to connect and work together on projects for clients, and also we have members of the network who represent large organisations and are leading change programs in large organisations. And so there's a sort of ongoing opportunity to be very agile and flexible in the way we work for those organisations and also independent clients.
Cool. So, International Work Out Loud Week, or WOL Week, hashtag WOL Week. tell us, Simon, what is Working Out Loud?
So, Working Out Loud is a practice of sharing your work while it's in progress with a relevant audience or community. It's essentially an opportunity to put your work out into the network and get early feedback, to learn from the skills and information of others, and also to enable others to see your work as it develops and enable them to learn from what you do. So Working Out Loud was initially coined by Bryce Williams. Mm-hmm. Bryce described it as narrating your work plus observable work. So the idea of putting work out, it's probably been advanced a great deal by John Stepper. Mm-hmm. And John really talks about drawing out some of the key elements about being generous with the way you share your work, being purposeful, mm-hmm. and thinking about the networks involved, mm-hmm. and importantly, having a growth mindset while you share your work.
So why do we need a week for it?
Well,
it's something we do every day.
It is something we do every day, yeah. But one of the advantages of bringing a global community together in International Working Out Loud Week is the opportunity for us to learn from other practitioners of Working Out Loud, the opportunity for people who are starting out to participate in Working Out Loud when there's a supportive global community there. So it's very much about promoting Working Out Loud during the week, sharing use cases, practices, stories, ways for people to get engaged and get started in the practice of Working Out Loud.
Excellent. Can you share with the listeners what's an example of a really successful experience you've had with Working Out Loud?
One really simple example from my work as a consultant was when I started out my consulting practice, I was doing a lot of work in Yammer collaboration, and I wanted to focus on putting together my intellectual property and the approaches I would use. So I brought together some competitive consultants, mm-hmm. some potential partners and referral sources, and some potential clients into a Yammer group that I managed and asked them to help guide me as I developed my intellectual property out loud in front of them. Mm-hmm. It was a fabulous experience for me because, first of all, I realized that what I was building most people didn't want. Mm-hmm. They wanted something different. And so they helped shape me into the products and solutions that have worked best for the clients they saw or the problems that were in front of them. And that experience of getting real-time feedback, being encouraged to be much more agile, saved me a whole bunch of work and made sure that the ultimate offering was much more focused and targeted on what the market needed.
Lovely. You mentioned then the use of a Yammer group with that. So I think one of the, as I understand it with the work I've done with Working Out Loud, one of the key characteristics is working publicly.
Mm-hmm.
So using a enterprise social network like Yammer is one element of that. What are some of the other ways that people within your network have worked publicly for Working Out Loud?
Absolutely. So using technology is one example. So whether that's an enterprise social network, whether it's public social media, for example, Helen Blunden, who's part of the network, is currently experimenting with Snapchat for Working Out Loud.
Yep.
At the other end of the spectrum, a lot of people get great value from just publicly working out loud in their workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Anthony, who works for TK, worked out loud under the stairs in his office. So they had a conference room under the stairs. He moved his work to this glass box conference room and put up posters and had presentations and invited his work colleagues to come and engage with his work running the marketing and communications function for TK. It was an amazingly valuable experience and something that didn't require technology to do, it just required visibility and a space to share.
One of the criticisms, I think, you know, I've heard some people be quite critical of Working Out Loud, and one of the criticisms is that, you know, it's a bit of snake oil and the salesmanship, and it's just, there's nothing new about it. We've always shared our work, and now there's some clever consultants turning it into a book and workshops and stuff like that. What's your response to that? Is there anything new about it, or is it substantially different to what we've done in the past?
Look, I think it connects back to trends in the history of management. You know, we've had management by working around, we've had lean and other things that have talked. What I think's different now about the nature of work in a digital era is more and more we're looking for ways that accelerate adaptive cycles, accelerate feedback, that enable people to get into work quickly and move through with a high focus on effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think Working Out Loud changes the game. It's not about bragging about your work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about drawing attention to your work in profiles. It's about taking work in practice, progress, and sharing work in progress in a way that enables your stakeholders to provide more input.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that as a general theme, that exists in Agile, it exists in design thinking. Working Out Loud is kind of a meta practice that sits across a lot of those other areas of activity. And we all find when we embrace agile or agile change or design thinking, that initial phase of getting stakeholders engaged in that work is they face a reticence to do it.
Mm.
Working Out Loud can help with that reticence.
Mm. The notion of sharing interim work or work in progress that's not finalised and it's not finished, how do you approach the concern that that's a career-limiting thing to do or it's quite risky to do?
First of all, you have to acknowledge, right, that there is a, I call it the trembling finger, that moment when you're going to hit the button to share and you're worried about, is this, you know, we have that down to an individual email if it's a high-risk email. So we need to think about, I think the first thing is, think about the context in which you're sharing information. More and more of what we do is transparent anyway in organisations. Building the skills to share in smart ways while work is going on is really valuable. I think the other thing that people worry about is, oh, you know, what if my stakeholders find out I've got challenges or risks? Well, if we're involved in change management, it's pretty silly to be hiding the challenges and risks of our work from our stakeholders. They inevitably find out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's a much greater reputation risk, if we're talking about career limiting, for people to find out later that you've been hiding stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you've experienced that, I've experienced that in leading change programs.
Mm-hmm.
The more transparent you are at the beginning, it's difficult, but it delivers rewards down the track by building trust, by building a reputation, by engaging people early in the work.
I think it kind of, my experience with working out loud in the change field, so I probably have three or four examples that I could talk to of where I've used work out loud. I think because of the public nature and the transparency and the risk, it means that you have to be very good with your stakeholder expectation management. And very comfortable with early change comms, because the minute you release and say, well, look, I'm working on, yeah, so for argument's sake, the first time I played with Work Out Loud, I had to develop a change strategy for an enterprise change strategy in a very, very short period of time. So typically that kind of thing would take us a couple of months to get around all the stakeholders and understand context and what was going on. And I had like 2 weeks to do that in. So what I did with that was I booked a room in the organisation. I published on Yammer and sent emails out to all of the change practitioners in the organisation. And I said, anybody who's interested in this change goal, vision, we're working out loud in this room for 2 days and we'll have all of our interim work public. And we invite you to come in and give us feedback and fill in the gaps for us. It was an extraordinarily rewarding practice. We had far more people come through than we expected to, and it started all these conversations of you should talk to this person or this person needs to be involved and you might want to think about that. But what I was acutely aware of was just by doing that, I launched the change comms on that program.
Absolutely.
And we hadn't gone, you know, all of a sudden the organisation knew that this change was going to be coming through. And, you know, I'm not sure that I asked permission for that. That's usually not my style. but I was acutely aware of that responsibility that, you know, once you start working out loud, there's no staged release of information. You've got to be able to be authentic and respond transparently.
So this is one of the reasons why I encourage people to think about being purposeful with the way they work out loud. It's not a practice for every circumstance.
Yeah.
It's not a practice that demands that everything must be everywhere. Choose your communities. Choose your timing. Choose when and what you share and why. I had a similar experience. I got involved in a change program. I was brought in as a consultant to help accelerate a program that was struggling. And it was struggling to the extent that most of the stakeholders were very upset with the pace of progress. Now, the biggest danger when you come in is that you want to take time to get up to speed. You want to take time to put your ducks in a row and then present the best possible outcome of your work. I didn't have that support from stakeholders because the program was so far behind. What I found by working out loud, literally to the point of here's draft output, here's directional statements, give me rapid cycle feedback, help me shape this, was we went from zero confidence in the program to a great sense of where we were going. And by staging the working out loud, first on working out loud on the purpose and goals, then working out loud on the plan, then working out on how to deliver the plan. So we didn't go everything at once. We took the stakeholders on a journey through that. Much better engagement, much richer comment. And stakeholders got to the point of going, now I know where the project's at. I know what's coming next. I feel much more confident. You're still in a pile of pain, but you'll get there eventually. We can see that there's a process out of where the project is at. And I think that's the way to approach working out loud. It's not a big bang. It has to be purposeful, but it should also be tailored to what you want to take the audience you're going through.
That resonates also the current piece of work I'm on. So again, I've actually institutionalized, I'm not sure that you should use the word institutionalized with Work Out Loud, but Work Out Loud as a stage in the project delivery. So the piece of work we've got is a large program and 15 different work streams in that. Each of the work streams, once they're at about 60% of what their deliverable is, they're then expected to do a Work Out Loud webinar with the rest of the program members, which are about 40 people, so that people can see what the interdependencies are, so people can see, you know, contribute, have you thought about that? And you've actually got a much more integrated program approach rather than these discrete silos who are all delivering and going through that. So it's quite purposeful. It still is interesting culturally, the sense of, no, I really do want you to share this now, not when you're ready and not when it's finished, because, you know, organisations get so used to getting smacked when they're not putting forward something that's perfect.
Well, and that's why I focus on working out loud as a practice, because people actually need the experience of doing it to then be able to work through and solve and learn the approaches and techniques that will help them be more effective in the way they share their work and where they share their work.
What do you think people can do that would want to start with it? What's something little and easy that they can do?
The simplest thing you can do is be clear about what's the purpose of this work that I'm doing. Share that purpose with a group that's relevant to the work, a stakeholder on the project, the people you're aiming to benefit. Share that purpose and start a conversation about why you are doing your work. That creates for you a pathway to then share what are the outcomes you're trying to achieve, how you might go about it. You can start a conversation with that group and create a forum and a community to continue your working out loud.
Nice. Where can people go if they want to find more information about Working Out Loud?
There are a number of resources. So for International Working Out Loud Week, we have a website, which is wolweek.com. Some fantastic materials have been made available by John Stepper on workingoutloud.com, which is a great resource. John also has available a 12-week peer support program in Working Out Loud circles to enable people to be supported through the process of starting their journey into Working Out Loud.
Nice. So tell me, last question, Simon, what surprises you about Working Out Loud?
I have gone into Working Out Loud every time I think I have a good understanding of what the benefits I'm going to get are. I think I know who my stakeholders are. I think I know roughly what they're going to provide me. Every time I go into it, I am blown away by the discovery and the serendipity. So things that I had no idea were available to help me with my work, stakeholders I'd not even considered stepping up and saying, I'm interested and engaged in this work and I'd really like to help you move forward. The generosity of people around your Working Out Loud is amazing. People have gone out of their way to help me with my work, and that's surprising. We're a bit cynical in this world.
Yeah, what a lovely way to work with change. Simon Terry, thank you so much for your time on this week's Change Chat.
If you enjoyed this Change Chat, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.